He's here. Let him in.
Good afternoon, one and all. It is your host, Second City Sam, Sam Piopo, back with a brand new episode, fresh out of the oven, of Second City Sam's Hot Takes. Today, it is December the 2nd, 2020, the very last month of this crappy year. 2020 is nearly over. That means we've almost made it. Now, is 2021 going to be any better? We don't know. We're just going to have to wait and see. And, you know, we like to have that optimism come December every year, thinking that the next year may be better than the last. So, you know, it's always good to have that optimism. Maybe COVID's going to go away. That's probably wishful thinking. But anyway, welcome in. Second City Sam's Hot Takes is available on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter at Second City Sam. Also on Facebook, I did create a page for the show, Second City Sam's Hot Takes on Facebook. Give that page a like, share it with your friends. And let's get it growing. Now, today we have a full slate of topics, as per usual. And of course, we're going to start by talking about the Bears. 41-25 loss to the Packers. It was not that close. We're going to talk everything in between. Matt Nagy, Ryan Pace, Mitch Trubisky, the running game, Allen Robinson. And then we're going to throw in some stats along the way with Bears-Packers. And of course, before we end our agonizing Bears topic of the week, we're going to preview what they got coming up next, and that is the Detroit Lions, who have been in the news this past week, and let you know why and get things going there. And of course, as I do every week, the NFL picks of the week, they will be on after that. And you know what? Like I say this every week, take my picks with a grain of salt because they suck every single week. I think I've had one or two good weeks of picks this year. That's it. Everything else is whack. The new college football rankings, going to talk a little bit of college football today. Talk about a personal parlay that I had last week and the agony that comes with that. Got some Cubs news in just recently via Bob Nightingale on Twitter. We're going to talk about the Cubs, and we're going to talk about some MLB World Series stuff, so you're not going to want to miss that. And, of course, you know what? I wanted to throw this in here because there has been some news going on around the NHL and what's going to happen there. I want to talk about the Blackhawks goaltender situation and who's going to be starting if there is a hockey season this year. Kevin Lankinen, not PK Subban. Malcolm Subban and Colin Delia. Those are the Hawks' three goaltenders right now, and one of those three are going to win the job at some point. I want to talk about each of the three and see. I'm going to let you know who I think is going to be the starter come whenever that season may come. And we're going to talk about the season, which I'm hearing may start anytime from mid-January to early February, if the players and owners can even agree on anything. So we'll have to wait and see there. I want to talk about some NBA. Training camp is underway. The season is just around the corner. The Chicago Bulls, they made their draft a couple weeks ago. I want to see how they stack up against the rest of the NBA. Also, some Labuti James news with the Lakers. And, of course, ending the show per usual, professional wrestling and everything in between. WWE Raw, WWE SmackDown, AEW Dynamite, NXT. And, of course, they have a pay-per-view coming up this Sunday, which I will, of course, preview as well. So, a full slate of topics for you on today's show. Second City Sam's Hot Takes is off and running, and we're going to kick it off with some Chicago Bears talk. So, 41-25, loss to the Packers. Yes, They only lost by technically two scores. But man, was it? It was not that close. That was terrible. And I'll tell you what. If I wasn't building a fireplace during that game, I probably would have lost my mind. Because that was embarrassing. You know, I watched the game kind of on the side while I built the fireplace because I knew, I mean, let's face it, I knew they weren't going to win. But I did not expect a complete bed shitting that we got, you know, on Sunday night. So let's get into it here. Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace, are their jobs safe? We talked about this before. If their jobs were safe before last week against the Packers, it better not be now. In fact, I would be willing to guess that no matter what happens from this point out, I think Ryan Pace is fired at the end of the year. I think he's done. You know, everything that he's screwed up upon is really coming into a fruition here. Any mistake he's made is really rearing its ugly head. And it's gotten ugly. It's gotten real ugly, especially the last five or so weeks. So, Ryan Pace's job, I think he's done. I think he's gone. Matt Nagy, I'm not so sure about his job. Just for the simple fact that he has been given trash along the way here. And somehow they made that work in 2018. They went 12-4. But since then, I mean, what has Matt Nagy really been given to work with on the offense? I don't know. I'm not trying to make an excuse for Nagy because he has been just as big a problem as anyone else. And in my opinion, his job should not be safe. But I'm trying to play a little devil's advocate here because, you know, we can't just go firing everyone, despite us wishing that would be the case because, you know, from top to bottom, this organization sucks. You know, from the McCaskies to Ted Phillips to Ryan Pace, all the way down to Matt Nagy and the players. The whole organization sucks. So we know that. But I just don't know if it's safe to say that Matt Nagy's job is up for grabs here in what is it, 6 weeks left? 5 weeks? In 5 weeks. I don't know if his job's going to be, on the table. I think they may give him another year to see what happens. Maybe put him under a new regime, new general manager, see what happens. But I would not be even a slightest bit surprised if they were to go ahead and fire Matt Nagy at the end of the year. Who would they get to replace him? I have no solid idea. Bring back Lovie Smith. You know, he went 10-6 in his final year as a Bears head coach. They're not going to do that. But, you know, I wouldn't even be mad at it. I liked Lovie Smith. Everybody gave Lovie Smith shit. Always. But he was, you know, he did well with the Bears. He never had a great offense to work with. But he won games. So, I don't know. So, Matt Nagy's job, I think it's safer than Ryan Pace's job. But as for Ryan Pace, I think he's gone. Because that game showed everything that's wrong with the Chicago Bears. And as for his draft pick quarterback back in 2017 that he traded up for, you know, everybody wanted Mitch Trubisky back under center for the Bears. Well, there you go, guys. You got him. You got your wish. And what does he do? He turns the football over 3 times. I get it. The offensive line sucks. We've been saying that the whole season. The offensive line sucks. But what in God's name is Mitch Trubisky throwing a 40-50-yard ball into double coverage for? That is something he does not need to be doing in his first game back. You know, even if he never got replaced, that is something he shouldn't be doing because he sucks at it. Let me just say that. He's not good at it. He's not good at the deep ball. So those of you who you're clamoring for Mitch Trubisky to come back in. We want Mitch. There you go. You got him. And he turned the football over 3 times. He gets sacked. He drops the football. Fumble. He throws 2 picks. Could have been more. Mitch Trubisky sucks. Let's stop clamoring for this for this talentless nobody that we have at quarterback. And I'm not saying Nick Foles is any better because he sucks too. We need to stop chomping at the bit to switch quarterbacks every 3 weeks. Because neither of these guys are going to get it done. You know, it doesn't matter if you have Tyler Bray in there. You have as good a chance of winning as you would with Mitch Trubisky or Nick Foles at this point. Because, I mean, let's face it. The defense is done. The defense is tired. The defense is worn out. And they've given up. When the offense is this bad and the defense is on the field for you know, 70, 75% of the game, your defense is going to get tired. Your defense is going to quit on you. And I'm not making an excuse for the defense because I've been saying it all year. The defense sucks. You know, everybody wants to stick up for the Bears defense this year. Oh, you know, they haven't given up a ton of points. Guess what? They give up a ton of yards, and in the Packers game, they got exposed. Chuck Pagano got exposed. Chuck Pagano, he's got to go, man. He's taken what was a 2018 number one offense in the league. He's taken the same personnel, crumbled it up, threw it away, and made his own thing. And his own thing is not working. He has taken an elite defense and made them average at best. The defense is not good. And they showed it against the Packers. Aaron Rodgers destroyed that defense. Just like I said he would on the show last week. Not to toot my own horn or anything. But for those who like to hop on the Bears, you know, I got a buddy at work who bet on the Bears, man. He bet on the Bears. What in God's name are you doing betting on the Bears? That was for you, Mario. I hope you listen to this. That's a trash bet, my dude. Can't be doing that, betting on the Bears. Come on, man. You're better than that. But back to Trubisky, though. So he's going to start the rest of the year, most likely, because you can't just keep switching quarterbacks back and forth and back and forth like that. You got to pick one at some point. Neither of them are going to get the job done. Especially with the offensive line that we have. But you got to pick one. And I think the easy decision is to keep Mitch Trubisky on the field. Because he gives you, it's not by much, but he gives you the best opportunity to win with his legs. And unfortunately, he doesn't have a running game to help him along the way with that. Because in the first half, the Bears ran very well. David Montgomery busted out a 57-yard run. That was really good. And actually, I'm pretty sure he rushed for over 100 yards. But most of them came on that one rush. But the Bears need a running game. Like, there's no frickin' tomorrow they need a running game. And I don't really know, you know, you're facing the Lions this week. There's an opportunity there to run the football. And you got to do it. The more you can take the football out of Mitch Trubisky's hands, the more opportunity you have to win, in my opinion. David Montgomery rushed 11 times for 103 yards. That's still not good enough, though. 11 attempts. I understand you're playing from behind the whole game. So I guess I can give him a free pass this week. But, you know, just from the track record, Matt Nagy does not run the football even when the Bears are up. 11 attempts isn't going to get it done. 103 yards is good. I'm happy David Montgomery busted out and had that long 57-yard run, got over 100 yards. That's great. But here's the stat that's a little damning. And yes, they played from behind the whole game. Mitch Trubisky went 26 of 46 for 242 yards, 3 touchdown passes, and 2 interceptions. He was sacked 3 times for 13 yards, it looks like. So yeah, that's good for a quarterback rating of 74.7. So, I mean, and he used his legs too. 3 attempts for 11 yards. But the problem is the turnovers. And that's kind of what it's always been, right? Whether it be fumbling or making a silly decision and throwing the football away. Getting it intercepted. So what do we do here if we're Mitch Trubisky, if we're Bill Lazor, if we're Matt Nagy? You got to find a way to make it easier for Mitch. Forget all this 50-yard, 60-yard pass bullshit. In 3 years, we've learned that he can't do it. He can't do it. He's not a good deep ball thrower. Simple as that. So what are we going to do? Make it easier. Run the ball. You got to have at least 20 attempts with David Montgomery. You just do. You got to do it. If you don't, then everybody in the damn stadium is going to know that Mitch Trubisky's passing every play, and they're going to zone you to death. And Mitch Trubisky's not going to be able to exploit a defense. Not even a Detroit Lions defense. Although he has had successes against the Lions in his career. I don't know. But when you compare stats, Trubisky, 74.7 quarterback rating. Aaron Rodgers, 132.3 in that game. 21 of 29 for 211 yards, 4 touchdown passes. Sacked 0 times. Interceptions, 0. Fumbles, 0. Rushed for 12 yards. I mean, Aaron Rodgers outplayed him. He outplayed the Bears as a whole frickin' team, including his counterpart, Mitch Trubisky. So yes, Mitchell Trubisky is the better option at quarterback right now. No, that is not a good thing for the team. But one of his main targets, Allen Robinson, I want to talk a little bit about A-Rob, because he has been the consummate wide receiver in this league to never have a quarterback. And just with that fact, I do not think he should re-sign with the Chicago Bears. And I don't think he's going to re-sign with the Chicago Bears. I would demand a trade right now if I'm Allen Robinson. Trade me to a damn contender. Trade me to a team who gives a damn about winning. Allen Robinson's a fantastic wide receiver. And he's got no business being on the Chicago Bears. Because he's never going to have anybody to pass him the ball. Great player. Deserves an extension. Was looking for an extension earlier in the season. If I'm him, I'm not even looking for one anymore. I'm going to test free agency. Get some money. Go to a team with a solid quarterback. Not a team who has to switch quarterbacks every 3 weeks because we don't know which one is better. Check that. We don't know which one is less bad. That's a better way of putting it. So, I mean, there you have it. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, he just proved again that he owns the Bears. He's proven that his entire career. Matter of fact, here's a wicked stat for you. Since 1980s, that whole decade, was the very last year that the Bears won. They beat the Packers more than the Packers beat the Bears. Let's take a look at the stats since then. In the 1990s decade, the Packers were 13-7 against the Bears. In the 2000s decade, they were 12-8 versus the Bears. In the 2010s, so the Aaron Rodgers years, they were 17-4 against your and mine Chicago Bears. And they're 1-0 in 2020s. So let that sink in for a minute. That is so freaking disappointing. That is so embarrassing. It makes me want to vomit. You know, we call it the greatest rivalry in the NFL. You can't call it that anymore. You just can't, because the Packers own the rivalry. What makes a rivalry a rivalry? When you don't know what team is going to win. Sure, there's still the bad blood. But you know who's going to win every game. How is it a damn rivalry anymore? It's a bunch of bullshit. I'm tired of watching the Bears lose to the Packers. And it doesn't seem like the frickin' organization cares or wants to do anything about it. And that's what gets me hot. That pisses me right off. And for years, my entire life, that's been the case. I don't care about winning. So long as 65,000 idiots are packed into Soldier Field every weekend, they don't give a damn about winning. So that's the only thing that's going to maybe make them change their mind or sell the damn team. Stop going to these games. Because I'm not buying a damn ticket next year for, you know, they're going to raise the prices again like they always do. Get a freaking cheap seat for $125. Screw that. Stay home and watch it on your TV. Don't buy jerseys. Don't buy gear. Anything. That's making them money. And right now, you know what? They don't deserve our money. Bears fans, we're embarrassed. We're ashamed to be fans of this football team. And if you're not, then you need to look in the mirror and really, really think this over. Because you're a fan of one of the top market teams in the NFL. And for the last 30 plus years, they have failed you. They've failed you. They've failed the entire fan base. And that's a damn shame. Alright, so let's preview. Bears-Lions this weekend. Lions, they fired Matt Patricia. And it'll be their first game without him as their head coach. Now, usually if a head coach gets fired mid-season, a team comes out and they play, you know, strong football the next week. Now, with that off their chest, I think that's exactly what the Lions are going to do. They got Matthew Stafford, who I think is one of the most underrated quarterbacks of all time. He gets no respect because he's on the Lions. He's had one good receiver in his time with the Lions. That was Calvin Johnson. He's got Kenny Galladay and Marvin Jones Jr. now. That's great, but he ain't got no defense. It's one thing or the other with Matthew Stafford. It's unfortunate for him. He deserves to go to a contender. So, without Matt Patricia, I think the Lions are going to come out in high gear here. And what do the Bears need to do to win? They got to weather that initial storm, because I feel like the Lions are going to come out firing. They're going to come out strong. Look for them to score an opening touchdown, to be honest with you, because the Bears like to give that up too. Matthew Stafford's, you know, he's going to be throwing it early and often. They got a good running game. What do the Bears need to do to win? I think they need to weather that initial storm. I think they could win this game. So long as they don't turn the football over on offense, the Bears are going to be in this game. But I just don't see it anymore. I don't see him winning. I just can't see him winning any games. I can't visualize it anymore. I can't visualize them winning. So I'm not going to pick them. As for Detroit Lions versus Chicago Bears, I have the Lions winning that game 20-17. Sorry, Bears fans. I still love you. All right, that's it for Bears Talk. I'm pissed off, and I got to take a break. Coming up next, I want to get to your questions. I'm going to be answering your questions every week. You guys send me questions. I answer them on the show. It can be about anything. Sports, wrestling, life, you know, food. I love food, music, any of that crap. Send me your questions. I'm answering them on the show. Coming up next, right here on Second City Sam's Hot Takes. Don't go away. All right, welcome back, Second City Sam's Hot Takes is back with you, Second City Sam. Sam Piopo here. Follow me on Twitter at Second City Sam for all of my hot takes virtually. Bit of breaking news here before I get to your questions. Actually, from both sides of town on the MLB side of things, the Chicago White Sox, as of 10 minutes ago, via Jeff Passan, the White Sox have non-tendered starter Carlos Rodon and outfielder Nomar Mazara. Both are now immediately free agents. Woo! That sucks because I really thought Carlos Rodon, you know, being the number three overall pick in 2014, I thought he was going to be big time for the White Sox. And unfortunately, he just couldn't stay healthy. It really sucks because he's got talent. He's got good stuff. But, you know, for the White Sox, I guess they just decided to move on. And as for Nomar Mazara, he just didn't work out on the South Side. So, you know, let me know what you guys think. Hit me up on Twitter at Second City Sam. Should the White Sox have kept Carlos Rodon? Yeah, forget about Nomar Mazara. I'm already going to know everybody's answer there. But Carlos Rodon maybe could have been a piece to what is becoming a really good rotation. Who knows? We'll see what happens. But let me know what you think, Second City Sam, on Twitter. Also, on the North Side, a bit of news there as well. So this is via Bob Nightingale. The Cubs are definitely tendering a contract to Chris Bryant, but barring a change of plans, will cut ties with outfielder Kyle Schwarber and Albert Almora Jr., which would mean that Kyle Schwarber and Albert Almora would both be non-tendered and would become immediate free agents. Holy cow. So, you know, I knew Kyle Schwarber was pretty much gone, but I thought that he'd be traded and the Cubs would maybe get something for him. So by non-tendering him, I think he would have been paid like $8 or $9 million if they would have tendered him. So you're telling me that you don't tender Kyle Schwarber and you're just going to lose him for nothing. If at least you tender him for another year, $8-9 million, whatever it is, at least you could try to get a trade out of it. Holy crap. So the Cubs are just giving up on that trade possibility. So they're going to be releasing Kyle Schwarber. Albert Almora, you know what, dude, that really hurts because I really thought this kid was going to be something special when they first drafted him. His fielding is really good. It always was. But his bat just never, ever developed. Albert Almora Jr., he played a pivotal role in one of the most important plays in Cubs history. When he was the pinch runner for Kyle Schwarber in the 2016 World Series Game 7, he tagged up from first to get to second on a Chris Bryant flyout, and that, I'll tell you, that was one of the best pieces of base running I've ever seen in my life. And, you know, from that point on, I thought it was all systems go for Albert Almora. You know, 2017, coming back, a fresh start, I thought he was going to skyrocket, be one of the breakout stars, and unfortunately it never happened. As for Kyle Schwarber, man, same thing, really. He had a really good 2016 World Series after that injury. You know, you come out, you expect him 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020. You keep expecting him to have these breakout seasons, but it's just not there. And it really sucks to see this come full circle because a lot of the guys that Cub fans had thought would be there for a super long time, you know, they're getting released now, and, you know, for the Cubs, there's more to come. That's what's scary about this. There's more trades. There's more releases to come. Jed Hoyer has his hands full. So let's see what happens there. There's your bit of breaking news for the Chicago Cubs and your Chicago White Sox. A little bit of non-tendering going on. Carlos Rodon on the South Side. Nomar Mazara on the South Side. And Kyle Schwarber and Albert Almora Jr. on the North Side. So, let's get back to what we're going to be getting to. I'm going to be answering your questions. Every week I ask you to submit questions, whether it be anything, sports, wrestling, life, food, music, whatever. And got a few, not as many as usual, but I got a few here. This one from Brendan Hughes. If you can give any wrestler a gift, such as mic skills, better music, better storyline, etc., what would it be? Because, you know what, there's so many things that I would like to do for certain wrestlers. And to have to choose one, man, that's a little tough. I feel like it would have to be mic skills with somebody. Because there's so many really good wrestlers that you know, just don't have the charisma on the mic or just general mic skills to take that next step. That is really tough. I think I would have to say Chad Gable at this point. You know what? Give me Cesaro. Because for so long I've wanted to see Cesaro win a world title. And I really like Chad Gable too, so that would be a close second. But Cesaro is so freaking talented in the ring. It's unbelievable. And he's just never had the charisma or the mic skills to take that next level towards main event. Especially according to Vince McMahon back when he was on that Stone Cold podcast. He didn't believe in Cesaro, and I'm guessing he still doesn't since he's never won a world title since. So yeah, if I had to give any wrestler a gift, it would have to be Cesaro with mic skills. Because, you know, he's still one of my favorite wrestlers, and I really hope that he gets a world title at least one time before he retires or leaves the company. Thank you for the question, Brendan. All right, from the lovely lady, Hannah Tanis. Favorite team out of all of your favorite teams, and which is your favorite player on your favorite team? Man. So as everybody knows, I am a Bears fan, a Cubs fan, a Blackhawks fan, a Bulls fan, and a Notre Dame Fighting Irish fan. My favorite team out of all those teams has to be the Cubs. They were my first love. And you know what? They've let me down so many times in my life that I'm kind of used to it with them. But they've really changed their ways since Theo and them came in and they won the World Series. And I expect the Cubs to win every year now. So the Cubs are easily my favorite. Close second would have to be the Blackhawks. Third, Bears. Fourth, I guess Irish, and then fifth would have to be the Bulls. So my favorite player on my favorite team, it has to be Anthony Rizzo. The guy's just, he's the captain. He's the captain of the Cubs. He's been around since the beginning. And yeah, Anthony Rizzo is the stuff. I love that guy. If there's one player I wouldn't want to see traded, it would be Anthony Rizzo. Thank you for the question, love. All right, from William Gehrig. Do you think the rise in COVID will affect sports more and more? You know what, Will? I hope not. Because I honestly think if it were up to me, I'm no doctor or anything. But from the way it's been lately, especially with all these NFL reschedulings, I'm pretty sure it's reached its peak when it comes to being involved with sports. So we got these vaccines coming in now, and sooner rather than later, they're going to be mass distributed. So if it were to keep up the pace that it is now in sports, yes, it will affect us more. But if they were to get that vaccine moving and distributed properly, and I'm sure sports leagues will be one of the first to get it, I would say no. I think it's reached its peak in sports, at least for now. But I hope I'm right. But, of course, with this whole frickin' virus, we thought it would be around for just a couple of months. But here we are almost a year later. So we'll have to wait and see. That one's simple. You just got to wait and see. Thank you for the question, Will. All right, got a couple from my boy Bobby Balina here. First question, are you thinking about disc golfing? Are you thinking about doing any tournaments for disc golf next year? Yes, I am, Bobby. I planned on doing some over the summer, but did not get to play a ton due to the virus. I definitely want to get involved with some tournaments next year, 2021, summertime. It's going to be great. Disc golfing is fun. I recommend anyone who is listening to this give it a try because it's a blast. Definitely going to be hooking up on some tournaments. Hopefully you play with me. All right, question number two from Bobby. Could you see a Big Four starting pitching rotation happening in the MLB? Yes, I could see that. Obviously, Bobby is referring to something that Juan Soto mentioned about the Washington Nationals earlier this week. And he wants Trevor Bauer there, creating, you know, Strasburg. You would have Trevor Bauer. I think they have, I can't remember all their pitchers right now. But I can see it happening just because of the fact that, the NBA has done it in terms of, dream team scenarios, the big fours, but no other sports have really gotten in on that yet. And I'm surprised with baseball because they don't have a salary cap. So, yes, the Yankees and the Dodgers, they buy everything and they get whatever they want and whoever they want. But they haven't really developed a big four starting rotation yet. So that'd be pretty cool if the Nationals were to do that. I don't want to see it happen, though, because I think dividing the talent among teams makes it more fun, makes it less predictable. So I think it could happen, yes. I don't want to see it happen, though. And lastly, from Bobby, what would your ideal starting lines for the Blackhawks be this upcoming season? That is a loaded question, my guy. Let me pull up their lines here. I can give you, a basic, maybe a basic line combo here, but it's going to be difficult because we don't necessarily know who's going to be on the team yet. All right, so let's take a look at the roster here. All right, first line, let's see. First line, I'm going Taves. That's tough. I'm going to go Taves, Kubalik, and boy, they do not have a lot. Taves, Kubalik, and Shaw, I guess. Yeah, I guess I could try that. Taves, Kubalik, Shaw on the first line. Second line, Dylan Strome, Alex DeBrincat, and Patrick Kane. So that would be my second line. That'd be a dope line. See, this is where it's going to get hard. Because you don't know who's going to be on the team coming up after that. Third line, I guess I'd go Matthew Highmore centering It gets real thin from there. I guess Alex Nylander, even though I despise him. And throw in Mackenzie Entwistle there on the third line. See what he could do on the right wing there. Fourth line, I'm going David Kampf. Let's go. Boy, we got really thin there at the third and fourth line. That the Hawks need depth. They really do. I forgot about Matthias Janmark. He would probably be my fourth line center with maybe Ryan Carpenter and John Quenneville. Shit, it gets real bad from that point on. So I guess you could throw that in there. Defensively, let's go Duncan Keith, Calvin DeHaan, Adam Boqvist. Well, no, you know what? Let's go Duncan Keith, Adam Boqvist. We'll go Calvin DeHaan. Connor Murphy. And the third line, let's go. Man, Brent Seabrook is still on the team. It's tough to leave him out of there, but I think I'd have to. Let's go Nick Bodine and Nikita Zadorov. Let's go that. That would be my defensive pairings as of now. And then lastly, goaltending, we're going to talk about that a little later. The Hawks have three options at goaltender. Colin Delia, Malcolm Subban, and Kevin Lankinen. So we're going to discuss that in just a little bit. Bobby, thanks for the tough question, you clown. Enjoy your weekend at work. So there it is. Your questions for this week's edition of Second City Sam's Hot Takes. There is one thing before I get to the NFL picks of the week that I wanted to discuss. And that is the recent comparisons between DK Metcalf and Calvin Johnson. So ever since the Monday Night Football game, Calvin Johnson and DK Metcalf have been getting a ton of comparisons. Metcalf was even asked about it, talked about it with former head coach Jim Schwartz. And let's just take a look at this. So DK Metcalf has played a total of 27 NFL games. And Megatron obviously played a lot more than that. But in their first 27 NFL games combined, Calvin Johnson had, in his first 27, 95 receptions for 1,662 yards and 11 touchdown receptions. If you look at DK Metcalf's stats through 27 games, 116 receptions, 1,939 yards, and 16 touchdown receptions. Now, a few days ago, I would have not made this comparison because Megatron was awesome. He was a stud. But DK Metcalf has had an unbelievable offensive year. And, you know, he's jacked. He's super. He's fast. He is everything you want in a receiver. And looking at the stats, I had no idea he was even this close, you know, combined with Calvin Johnson. I think you can compare the two at this point. DK Metcalf's going to be around a long time, barring any injuries. And, you know, Calvin Johnson, being the receiver he was, didn't last as long as he could have because, you know, he played for the Lions. DK Metcalf's going to be around a long time, especially with that physique that he has. So I thought that was a little interesting that they've been comparing the two. And, you know, I think it's a fine comparison. They're both super talented. It's unfortunate that Calvin Johnson retired early. I blame the Lions. But watching DK Metcalf, it's damn near a carbon copy. It's really, really that close. So I thought that was pretty cool. Cool thing to mention. Getting back to it, though. The NFL picks of the week. Let me just get this NFL schedule up. And by the way, it doesn't get any easier with this week's picks either. I mean, last week's picks were really difficult, but, you know, and even now, last week ain't even over. I'm watching the Pittsburgh Steelers versus the Baltimore Ravens right now on a Wednesday afternoon, so there's that. So week 13 of 17 in the NFL season, excuse me, we've got the New Orleans Saints taking on the Atlanta Falcons. I'm picking the Saints, and I think this could be a trap game. I think the Falcons could easily win it. They destroyed the Raiders last week. Like I said, it could have been a trap game. I still picked the Raiders, but I called that being a trap game. The Falcons absolutely demolished the Raiders. The Saints, I got them winning the game. Taysom Hill isn't getting it done too well through the air, but he's scoring points. So the Saints are going to keep rolling here over their division foes, the Falcons. I got the Saints winning by, give them 9-point victory. Cleveland Browns versus the Tennessee Titans. It's actually going to be a good game. The Browns are quietly playing good football. I do have the Titans winning this game, though. They played a really good game against the Colts last week. And they made that game not even close. They screwed the Colts. I'll tell you what. The Colts screwed me over. I picked them finally, first time all year, and they shove it up my ass. So the Colts, I'm probably going to pick them again this week. But, yeah, the Titans are going to beat the Browns. I got them winning by 6. Lions-Bears. I already gave you my score there. Lions win 20-17. Oh, let's see. Cincinnati Bengals versus the Miami Dolphins. Bengals are done, man. They are so done. The Dolphins are going to win this football game by at least 13. I'll give them a 13-point victory. Jacksonville Jaguars. They just recently fired their general manager, Caldwell. They fired him. Their head coach, Doug Marone, is still there. So we'll see what happens there. Jaguars aren't going to win this football game over the Minnesota Vikings. I got the Vikings winning rather easily by 10. Let's see. Indianapolis Colts, you bastards, versus the Houston Texans. I've got the Colts winning this game. Will Fuller is suspended for the rest of the year on the Texans. Now Deshaun Watson has nobody to throw to. I don't want to pick the Colts because they let me down, but I'm going to have to pick them in a 7-point victory. Raiders versus the Jets. The Raiders are going to bounce back. Simple as they're going to win by 20. Let's just give them a 20-point victory over the Jets because the Jets are lowly as hell. The New York Giants versus the Seattle Seahawks. Daniel Jones is, I believe he's out this weekend. So that's, you know, that's not good. Seahawks are going to win this game rather convincingly by 14. Los Angeles Rams versus the Arizona Cardinals. It's going to be a good game. Cardinals, bit of a letdown the last few weeks. I think their slide is going to continue, unfortunately. I got the LA Rams winning this game by 3. It's going to be a really good game. Maybe the game of the week. Especially after that disappointing loss to the 49ers last week. Man, I'll tell you what. That game cost me over $200. That was the last game I needed on my parlay, and they screwed it up thanks to Robbie Gold. I still love you, Robbie. New England Patriots versus the San Diego Chargers. Could be a decent game. I'm actually going to give the Chargers the win. They're going to finally pull one out. I'll give them the win by 6. Philadelphia Eagles versus the Green Bay Packers. Packers are going to win by, 16. Broncos, Chiefs. Used to be what would have been a good game back about 5 years ago when Peyton Manning was there. But not anymore. The Chiefs are going to win this game, and it's going to be ugly. Give them a 23-point victory. Washington football team versus the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'll tell you what. Washington is better than we give them credit for, but they're not good enough to beat the Steelers. I got the Steelers winning by 7. Bills, 49ers. 49ers coming off that big win over the Rams. They're not going to win this week. The Bills will take the victory, and I'll give them that victory by 8. And finally, Tuesday night football. Cowboys, Ravens. I'm going to go with the Ravens. But it's not going to be easy because the Ravens are severely underwhelming this season. So I'll give the Ravens the win by 4. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is Second City Sam's NFL Picks of the Week. Do you disagree? Do you agree? Let me know on Twitter, Second City Sam. Give me your NFL Picks of the Week. Send me any parlays or bets you may have over the weekend, and I will judge them accordingly. So, before I take a quick time out here, I want to mention the college football rankings. I did watch the Notre Dame-North Carolina game last Saturday, and it was really good. It was a really good game, and, you know, North Carolina kept it close. Ian Book, I learned, as, you know, the quarterback of the Irish, he is severely, I think he's underrated, man. He's been very good. He's going to pass as the Irish's all-time leader in wins. So that's, I mean, that's, I think he's going to pass Brady Quinn, too, of all people. So, I mean, it's good. It's good for the Irish. They're still undefeated. They're number 2. That's my team. If you're wondering why I'm mentioning them, but your updated college football rankings: number 1 Alabama, number 2 Notre Dame, number 3 Clemson, number 4 Ohio State. So it remains stagnant up at the top. 5 Texas A&M, 6 Florida, 7 Cincinnati, 8 Georgia, 9 Iowa State, 10 Miami. And there you have it. That's all that really matters at this point. Northwestern dropped to 14. Man, they sucked. They really let us down there last week. They were, I believe they were in the top 10 last week, but they had an ugly loss. They shit the bed, and now they're dropped. So there's your updated college football rankings. Take that with whatever you may. But I'm still rooting for Notre Dame to win the ACC, beat Clemson, and then move on to the college football playoffs. But we'll see if they can do that. I also wanted to mention for a quick break, so I had 2 parlays last week, one for the NFL, one for college football. So I'm sitting at the bar on Friday, empty bar, may I add. Holy crap, there was nobody there. I'm sitting at the bar with some buddies, and we're watching Oregon, Oregon State. And I picked Oregon on my parlay because that's an easy bet, right? Oregon was ranked, I think, number 16 or whatever at the time. They have the lead throughout the entire game. That's the last game I need to win the parlay. I believe it was a $150 payout. Oregon State scores with 30 seconds left, takes the lead, wins the game. I lose the parlay. And then the NFL side of things, I only needed the Rams to beat the freaking 49ers. Easy bet, right? The Rams blow it. The 49ers kick the game-winning field goal as time expires, and I lose both parlays, and I make no money. And that is why I deleted the app. No more sports betting for this guy. It's not worth it. Don't do it. Oh, that one really hurt. It hurt so much that I'm going to take a timeout. Grab a quick drink of water. Coming up next, I do want to discuss some Blackhawks, and I do want to discuss a little bit. An MLB World Series graphic came out today. I want to discuss the updated odds of winning the World Series in 2021. The way too early odds, may I add. So I'm going to talk a little bit of Blackhawks coming up next, and talk a little bit of NBA and, of course, professional wrestling. Keep it right here, Second City Sam's Hot Takes on Anchor.fm. All right, welcome back. It is officially the fourth quarter of Second City Sam's Hot Takes, this edition anyway. All right, getting back into it here, I wanted to talk a little bit about the Blackhawks goaltending situation because it's pretty loaded at the moment and not a whole lot of star power to choose from. At the moment, the three gentlemen that will be in net, well, I should say two of them, are Kevin Lankinen, Malcolm Subban, and Colin Delia. Now, I want to go in-depth on what these guys, because a lot of you guys may not know a whole lot about these guys. Let's go in-depth a little bit on who these guys are and what their stats look like in their career and so on. So we've got Malcolm Subban, who is the probable favorite to assume the job of Blackhawks starting goaltender. Malcolm Subban is 26 years old, and he's been in the league for 5 years. He was drafted by Boston, and his record, he's played 66 NHL games. In those 66 games, he started 60, and he, for a grand total of 30 wins, 23 losses, and 7 overtime losses. His save percentage is an unfortunate .899. And his goals against average is a 2.97. So not great. Not great stats. You know, when Boston drafted him in 2014, everybody thought that Malcolm Subban was going to be this stud. You know, I mean, his brother's in the NHL as a defenseman. Malcolm Subban coming out hot. Everyone thought he was going to be a stud. So far, it just hasn't panned out in the NHL. And he hasn't had a real chance yet with the Blackhawks, so I'm sure he's going to get an opportunity. But, I mean, there you have it for Malcolm Subban. He's probably going to be the starter for this team. But it's not a definite thing or anything like that. Let's move on with Colin Delia here. Colin Delia, he's been in the Hawks system for a couple years now. He's 26 years old, just like Malcolm Subban. He's played in 18 NHL games for a record of 7-5-3. That's good for a save percentage of .906 and a goals against of 3.65. So the goals against, not too good, but that's because he played in front of a crappy Blackhawks defense in 2018-2019 season. The save percentage is good, .906 for a guy who was forced into a starting role when Corey Crawford was injured. He's been okay. So I would like to see him given a chance out of the three of them. I like what I saw in that season, in that shortened season for him anyway. And yeah, I think he has a lot of potential. But I mean, we'll see if he's even given the opportunity. Lastly, last option for the Blackhawks is 25-year-old Kevin Lankinen. He is from Finland, and I know nothing about him. And, you know, even going on Hockey Reference, you don't see anything about this guy. I'm guessing he played in the Finnish League because I know nothing about him. So, I mean, he's going to be given a chance. Apparently, the Blackhawks like what they see in him. As of right now, I would go Colin Delia. That would be my pick. But what I think they're going to pick is Malcolm Subban. So I think it would be a tandem of Malcolm Subban and Colin Delia, and as Subban getting the starting job. But just thought it was an interesting thing. It's really different here right now for the Blackhawks because, you know, you haven't had to worry about knowing who your goalie was since 2011 when Marty Turco was supposed to be the starting goalie for the Hawks. And, you know, he stunk up the place, and Corey Crawford came in and did the job and did it well for over 9 years. So, something to be worried about, I guess, if you're a Blackhawks fan. All right, moving on. Talk a little bit of basketball here. NBA training camp is underway. The season's just around the corner. The Bulls just drafted. How do the Bulls match up to the rest of the NBA? They're not ready to win anything yet. I don't even think they're ready for a number 8 seed in the playoffs. But good news out of Bulls camp is that Zach LaVine was reporting that, you know, it feels different around there. It feels different around training camp and practices, you know, new coaching staff, new front office, and apparently spirits are high over in Bulls camp right now. So that's a really good start, because if there's one thing you want is your players to feel good about being there. You want your players to want to be there. So, really good to hear there from Zach LaVine, obviously the leader of the team at the moment. So, good stuff. I don't see the Bulls, you know, I could be wrong. I'm not a big basketball guy, but I don't see the Bulls getting into the playoffs this season. If they do, it will be an 8 seed, and I think they'll still be under 500. But, yeah, I don't see it happening. Just one more thing out of basketball is LeBron James. He signed a 2-year, $85 million extension with the Lakers today. So that's $42.5 million a year. And plus he has another year left on his deal, I believe. So, man, LeBron is just raking in the dollars, man. And he's going to be one of those guys like Jordan long after he retires. Love him or hate him. He's going to be making money for a long, long time, whether it be shoes or commercials or sponsorships. Yeah, that dude, he's going to be loaded for years, his entire life, and his kids and his kids and his kids' kids. So LeBron James, new deal with the Lakers. Sucks for the league, I guess. But, hey, LeBron's getting up there. He's not going to be around too much longer. What is he, 34, 33 or something like that? LeBron's getting older. The year he retires is going to be, I feel like basketball fans are going to be happy, but when they watch the league without him, are going to be sad because he puts eyes on the product and he makes it more fun. So that's just my 2 cents. All right, ending the show with some professional wrestling. First things first, guys. A legend passed away today. The very first Intercontinental Champion and the very first openly gay professional wrestler, Pat Patterson, passed away today at the age of 79, I believe. It's really courageous what Pat Patterson did just a few years ago on the Legends House on the WWE Network. He came out of the closet. And, you know, he came out to all of his colleagues, all of his friends on that show. And it was really touching. I mean, it made everyone cry on the show. And Pat Patterson, everyone talks so highly of him. Great guy to be around, great guy to train you, talk to you. So it's super, super sad to hear. Rest in peace, Pat Patterson, the very first Intercontinental Champion. All right, little moment of silence there for Pat. Moving on, though, WWE Raw and SmackDown review. start with SmackDown since it was for longer ago. SmackDown's not really hitting home for me right now. Besides the Roman Reigns stuff, which I'm enjoying the hell out of. Kevin Owens, Roman Reigns, it's going to be dope. Kevin Owens beating the crap out of Jey Uso, telling Roman Reigns he's not afraid of him, you know, especially him, he's not afraid of anybody. That's going to be awesome. Kevin Owens isn't going to win the title, but, you know, sooner rather than later, I want Kevin Owens to get another world championship around his waist, because that guy really deserves it. He is one hell of a worker, whether it be babyface or heel. I'd prefer being heel, but he's a babyface right now, and he's still doing a great job. Yeah, that's going to be fun. The Sami Zayn, Daniel Bryan stuff, that was really good. Those guys are excellent. I mean, let's just face it. Daniel Bryan's one of the greatest of all time to do it. And, you know, rumors going around that his career may be done soon. I mean, whatever he decides, he's still one of the best of all time. I'd love to see him get one more run with the title. I'm not sure that's going to happen. But, you know, other than that, Sasha Banks still running around as the women's champion. She's doing good things with the belt. Curious to see what happens from here with Carmella and all that jazz. Yeah, so the SmackDown, nothing doing too hot for me. Raw, kind of the same thing. The triple threat match to decide the number one contender for Drew McIntyre was excellent, as I thought it would be. Lana and Asuka getting the win over the tag team champions Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler was really cool. So I'm guessing they're going to get a shot at the titles next. But, I mean, seeing AJ Styles win that match against Keith Lee and Matt Riddle, that was a lot of fun, man. That match was really, really good. That was a barn burner. The stuff Sheamus and Drew McIntyre are doing is interesting, to say the least. You would expect there to be a match down the line against those two. Drew McIntyre, Sheamus, really good friends. That match would be a stiff fest, and I would love to see it. But right now, they're tagging up. They're tagging with each other, and it's going pretty cool. I kind of like what they're doing with Sheamus right now. I feel like Sheamus doesn't get enough love, and even for me, I especially when he won that WWE title in 2015, I couldn't stand Sheamus. But looking back, Sheamus is a great worker, man. He does everything right. He's a little stiff. He does everything right. He does anything he's asked. Sheamus is he's a Hall of Famer. That's for sure. That's for sure. There's one thing more I wanted to mention. What is that last thing on Raw? Oh, the thing with Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton. That's going to be interesting because Randy Orton is apparently finding the weakness of the Fiend, which would be Alexa Bliss. So that's going to be interesting to see. That the storytelling for that whole feud is just going to be so good. I'm totally invested in that. Especially, man, Alexa Bliss and the Fiend are just so good together. Randy Orton's playing a really good job. I mean, the whole thing is just, it's perfect right now. It's perfect. That's really about it, guys. Besides the tag team stuff, which I haven't really gotten into. AEW tonight. I believe it's tonight, no? Let's see. I'm pretty sure there's a title match tonight on AEW. Yes. There is. Yeah, Jon Moxley versus Kenny Omega is tonight for the World Championship of AEW. That is going to be lit. I don't care for AEW. I like Jon Moxley, and I know Kenny Omega's a great wrestler. That's going to be fun. I think Moxley finally loses the title tonight. Also, Cody Rhodes and Darby Allin versus Starks and Hobbs. Will Hobbs. That's going to be good. I don't care for Cody Rhodes at all. Love Darby Allin. Don't really know who the other two guys are. I'm just going to sit back and watch, I guess. The Dynamite Diamond Battle Royal. Don't know what that is. Guess I'll just have to see. Dr. Britt Baker versus Layla Hirsch. That's going to be fine. Britt Baker's cool and all. Jericho versus Kaz, whatever. Frankie Kazarian and Jericho are, they'll probably put on a good match. Two older guys know what they're doing in the ring. So if you're going to watch AEW tonight, that's what you can expect. As for me, I'll probably be watching NXT because looking ahead this weekend is NXT TakeOver War Games, which is going to be super lit. Let's take a look at the card, if we may. The card is, especially the two War Games matches. Oh my goodness, it's going to be so lit. I cannot wait for that. Looking ahead, NXT North American Championship match. It's a triple threat. Leon Ruff is the champion versus Johnny Gargano versus Damian Priest. It's really cool that they put the strap on Leon Ruff so quick. It's very surprising they did that. They don't do that to a lot of people. But Johnny Gargano, Damian Priest, Leon Ruff, they're going to tear it down. It's going to be so good. I actually have Leon Ruff retaining, and it's going to be weird if I get that right. But something tells me that Priest and Gargano are going to mess each other up good, and Leon Ruff's just going to be able to pin one of them. So that'll be fun to see. Next, there's a strap match. I'm not a fan of strap matches, but I get a kick out of what's going on with Dexter Lumis and Cameron Grimes. So I'm going to sit back and watch it. Dexter Lumis is a creepy-ass dude, man. And Cameron Grimes plays it off so good that he's actually scared of this guy. So the match is going to be interesting to see. I'm guessing Dexter Lumis is going to win. I'll give him the win. Whatever. NXT Championship number one contenders match. I love number one contenders matches, and I wish they would do them more. Especially in regular, you know, the main roster WWE. I just love them. On a pay-per-view, too. Make it feel big. Number one contenders match for the NXT Championship. Tommaso Ciampa versus Kushida. That's going to be a banger. Oh, man. Kushida is a really underrated guy on the roster. Super good worker. Tommaso Ciampa, we all know how good he is. I'm not sure what he's doing in NXT anymore, but, I mean, hey, if he wins this match, I guess I will know what he's doing. I'm going to pick, you know what, I'll pick Kushida. If Kushida does win, though, I really don't think Tommaso Ciampa has any business being in NXT anymore. So I guess I'll pick Kushida, but I wouldn't be surprised if Tommaso Ciampa wins. All right, War Games, let's get into it. The women's side of things. Team Shotzi Blackheart, Shotzi Blackheart, Ember Moon, Rhea Ripley, and Io Shirai versus Team Candice LeRae, featuring Candice LeRae, Dakota Kai, Raquel Gonzalez, and Toni Storm, the newly heel Toni Storm, which was kind of weird. But I'll take it. If I get to see Toni Storm more, it's okay. Because she's awesome. That match is going to be so freaking cool, man. I love that the women get a War Games match. NXT does it right. They do it right. I don't care what anybody says. They're better than AEW. And for this match, I'm going to go... I'll go with Team Candice for the win. And finally, the men's War Game match. I love it. I love Pat McAfee. Everything he's doing in NXT, for me, has been flawless. It's the Undisputed Era. Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, Bobby Fish, and Roderick Strong versus Pat McAfee, Pete Dunne, Oney Lorcan, and Danny Burch. It's going to be good. I don't know. I feel like Pat McAfee is going to find a way to get the win here. Undisputed Era has done everything they wanted to do in NXT. Give me Pat McAfee's crew to win that game. See, think of Pat McAfee in football. It's NXT. Pat McAfee's team is going to win. They're going to beat the Undisputed Era, and it's going to be a glorious, glorious main event. And there you have it. NXT, AEW, SmackDown, Raw. That is your professional wrestling in review and preview for the upcoming shows. And ladies and gentlemen, that's it for me. Second City Sam's Hot Takes is over. I've got everything I need. I hope you guys have enjoyed the programming today. And of course, if you would like to engage on the Twitter, you can always follow me at Second City Sam. I post a ton there, usually things about the Bears or anything, breaking news, all that jazz. You can find it on my Twitter. But as of now, that's it for me, guys. I'm going to go drink a beer because you know what? I'm off the next 4 days. So while you guys are chilling at work, probably listening to this podcast, I'm going to be, well, depending on what time it is. If it's the morning, I'm going to be sleeping. If it's the afternoon, I'm probably going to be relaxing. Or Christmas shopping. Unfortunately, I do got to do some Christmas shopping because I haven't started yet and it's already December 2nd. But if you're listening to it at night, I'm probably having a nice, cold, adult beverage. Responsibly, of course. So, in that case, that's going to be it for me. Once again, I thank all of you who continuously support and listen to the show. Please keep sharing. Make sure to tell your friends, all that jazz. And yeah, I hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving, by the way. Christmas is next, so what are you getting me? Nothing? That's cool. I don't like gifts. But for everyone who listens to the show, I thank you very much. And I will see you next weekend right here. Next week, rather, on Wednesday. Every Wednesday. Right here on Second City Sam's Hot Takes. Y'all enjoy your weekend.